This morning. Amen. Awesome. How many of you guys just love that song, Blessed Assurance? Amen. And so we want to talk about it this morning. So if you've joining us, this is our second week in the Hymns of Summer. And we are excited about this series. How many of you guys know that some of these old hymns have some really deep meaning, you know? And they really are scriptural based, and they really are foundational, you know, to our Christianity. And so we want to look at just this hymn right here, Blessed Assurance. Now, it was written by a woman. It seemed like all these hymns are written by women so far. But Fanny Crosby, anybody heard of Fanny Crosby? We have a picture of her on the screen. And she lived from the ripe old age from 1820 to 1915. She was 95 years old. Amen. How many guys want to live that old? Want to say, I want to live to 95. I want to live to 120. Whatever the Lord would give me, I want it all. Amen. Well, one day you're going to live forever. You're going to live forever and ever and ever. You're going to be a billion and a trillion years old. Isn't that awesome? But Fanny Crosby, she is a powerful hymn writer. She is also an urban missionary. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. Now, we thought it was something last week, but this woman wrote 8,000 hymns. Now, get this. She was born blind. She was born blind. She didn't let her disabilities prevent her from being used by God. She didn't look at it as a limiter. She said, I'm going to allow God to use me in whatever way that I can. And she wrote 8,000 hymns blind. Amazing. So this song, Blessed Assurance, it was co-written. In other words, one of her best friends wrote the music part of it, and she wrote the lyrics of this song. And an inspiring thing is that her grandmother was very influential in her life. How many of you guys have an influential grandmother, a woman of God, a woman who says, you're going to get right, and you're going to go to church, and you're going to get yourself in the house of the Lord? And how many of you guys are thankful for a good grandmother? This woman had a good grandmother. She said, she encouraged her, Fanny Crosby, said, look, you're not going to allow your disabilities to limit you. You're going to keep on, and you're going to do great things. And you know what's a remarkable thing about Fanny Crosby before we get into the song? Is that one time a pastor confronts her and says, you know, it's a pity, you know, that you were born blind because you have so many giftings and so many talents. You know how she responds to this? Let me just read it for you. She says, do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. What an incredible woman of God. She said, you know what, if I would have it any other way, I would like to be born blind. So that the first person I see is Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, and to see him face to face. What an awesome, incredible woman of God. Now we're going to kind of dive into some of the verses and the chorus of this song, and just really allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. Blessed Assurance. So here we go. I'm not going to sing it because you guys might all exit the building, but I will read for you guys, all right? And so here we go. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Now she's blind and she's writing visions of rapture bursting in my sight. She's seeing something that even though she's blind, she's seeing something far beyond her current situation. Pretty amazing. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. Amen. We're going to look back at verse 1, and then we're just going to kind of break it down and show how it all relates to Scripture. So the first part, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit and washed in his blood. She's writing this blessed assurance. In other words, she has such an assurance that Jesus was hers. In other words, the greatest possession that she could ever have in life was not her sight, but the greatest possession that she could ever obtain in life was obtaining Jesus. Jesus was her eternal reward. She says, blessed assurance. I am assured of this. I am certain of this. I am totally confident of the fact that one day I will be with Jesus and that he will be my reward. Now, how is it possible that a woman who was born blind, who could not see, can be so assured in the fact that she would get Jesus? And can we also be assured in the fact that we will obtain Jesus whenever we pass from this life to the next? Looking at that word assurance, it says, the definition is confidence, firm trust. We see this word in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. In other words, what she's saying, it's something I'm hoping for. I don't see it. She was born blind. She couldn't see. It's something I'm hoping for, but I have a firm trust in that which I'm hoping for. Amen? How many guys have a firm trust in the fact that you are hoping for eternal salvation, that you are hoping to be with the Lord one day, but you have a firm trust? And so to the world, that doesn't even make sense because they cannot see it. Therefore, they cannot trust in it, right? You see your money come in your hand, and some people trust in money. But the word, what we trust in is the ever-living word of God. We trust in the fact that what he said will come to pass, right? We trust that his word is true. And so we hope for it. We trust in it with a firm assurance. Amen. And the way that we are able to do this is found throughout Scripture. But one Scripture that pops out is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. It says this, whoever believes in the Son of God has a testimony in himself. Do we have any believers in the Son of God in this place today? It says they have the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So we find that we are assured in our salvation, that we are assured of eternal life through faith in the Son of God, through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Another way that we are affirmed or assured of our salvation is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. So it's saying that we are children of God and that we have the Holy Spirit who affirms us or confirms, assures us of our salvation. How many of you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you know that you know that you know that you are saved? Amen. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this in recent weeks. And so he assures us of our salvation. Now, a lot of times we like to gloss over this last part. It says, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Nobody likes to suffer in this life, right? And so our suffering as Christians, it may not look as the suffering of the persecuted church, let's just say like in China, but our suffering is suffering nonetheless. Perhaps you have lost friends because you have come to know the Lord and you can't hang out with the same people that you used to roll with, right? Perhaps you can't do the things that they used to do anymore. And so they're pulling on you, hey, man, come and do this with us. And you're like, no, I'm a Christian now. And so part of suffering is denying your flesh, and your flesh wants to. But then you know your spirit man is in control and says, no, I cannot hang out with that person anymore. It's somewhat suffering, right? It's somewhat painful to break ties with those people. Or perhaps you find it a chore to get yourself and your family ready on a Sunday morning to come to church. And so that might be a little bit of suffering, right? You might have to yell at your kids 3 or 4 times before they actually wake up and get out of bed and get themselves dressed. And it's kind of frustrating, but then it might be a little suffering, right? But then you find yourself in the place of the Lord. Or you might find yourself continually doing the wrong thing over and over again. When you're like Paul, you're like, man, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And why do I do not do the things that I do want to do? And so there's this internal struggle. There's this internal conflict. There's this thing that's just constantly weighing on you. And then there's the enemy who would like to condemn you as soon as you mess up. Look at you. You're no good Christian. You call yourself a Christian, but yet you messed up. There is suffering in this Christian walk, amen? And so sometimes it's just much easier just to throw in the towel and say, you know what? It's just easier to live in the world. It's just easier to live for myself than to follow after Christ. There's suffering involved. But the scripture says this, we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him. There is a promise. There is something tangible that you can hold on to, that you are an heir of God. Now, what does that mean for you? If you have a grandmother or someone who has left you an inheritance once they died, then once they died, that inheritance is yours. And so as children of God, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, there is a heavenly inheritance awaiting for you, provided that you suffer with Christ. And so we get to this hymn, we get to this song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. He's mine. He is my reward. I'm holding on to him, even whenever it doesn't make sense. I'm holding on to Jesus. He is my reward. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. 3 things that stand out right here. We're purchased of God, that he bought you with a high price. He paid with the blood of Jesus Christ, his first and only son. He said, I love you and I will purchase you from the grip of hell, from the slavery of sin and bondage. I am purchasing you. I am buying you back. You are the redeemed of the Lord. I'm buying you back. We have a scripture that says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You're not your own. God bought you. You belong to him. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. That should make you excited this morning, that God valued your life so much. He said, before the foundation of the world, I had you in mind, and I'm paying for you with my son. Amen. That should get someone excited this morning. The hymn continues that we're born of his spirit. Now, whenever Nicodemus comes to Jesus, he is wanting to know how can he be saved. And Jesus says, unless you are born of water and of the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, what? You know, do I enter my mom's womb again? How does that work? And Jesus says, he makes it clear, unless you were born of flesh, we are all born of flesh. But then we must be born of the Spirit again. Whenever we are born in flesh, we come into a new world. We are in a new place. Whenever we are born in the Spirit, we come to a new revelation of who God is. We come into a new accord with the brothers and sisters in Christ, a new family. We have been bought with a price. We've been born of his Spirit. The hymn continues, we're washed in his blood. How many guys are thankful that you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? That he no longer sees your sin anymore. Every time that you mess up, every time that you failed him, it was nailed to the cross. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. Your sins are forgotten, and they are no more. Whew, I'm grateful for that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, not just one sin, from all sins. How many guys know that we don't get it right all the time, that we fall short of the glory of God? And then there's a verse for that that says, for all your sins, his son was crucified so that you can be purified. Thank you, Jesus. Continuing in our hymn this morning, we're going to skip over verse 2 and go right to verse 3. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Now, we cannot talk about perfect submission without talking about the perfect submission that Jesus had. Because whenever he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he was human just as you and I were human. And he was looking ahead of time and he was seeing the cross and he was seeing that he would be ridiculed and mocked and beaten and crucified. And he's like, Father, let this pass from me if it is possible. God, if there's any other way. But then he says, not my will, but yours be done. Meaning, I'm willing. I'm willing. It's going to be painful. The very people that I came and I laid hands on and did miracles, they're going to betray me. They're going to mock me. They're going to beat me. They're going to scorn me. I'm willing. I'm willing. Perfect submission to the will of God. None of us in this place can say that we have perfectly submitted to the will of God for our lives, but Jesus did. Perfect submission. Whatever your will is, not my will, but yours be done. In Matthew 26, 38 and 39, we find this story. It says, then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And though our submission may not be perfect, it is still required. How many of you guys know that God is still calling us to submit, right? To submit to his ways, to submit to his laws, to submit to his sovereignty over our life. In other words, he is Lord over our life and we are not. He is God over our life and we are not. Amen. And so in Matthew 16, 24, it talks about this. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. That is the submission that Jesus is calling us to pick up your cross each and every day, even whenever it's not an easy thing to do. So much easier just to quit. So much easier just to throw in the towel and say, you know what? You know, what's the point? It's another thing to pick up your cross. Jesus, after he was beaten, after he was ridiculed and mocked and blood is flowing from his body, he picked up his cross and began to walk towards Calvary. Wow. Just let that sink in. So the hymn reminds us that when we are submitted to him, that is when we will find rest. That is when we will find peace. How many of you guys know this to be true in your life? That when you have submitted unto the Lord, whenever you are walking and you feel like, man, you're doing what God is asking you to do, that you have peace with the Lord, amen? That there is a peace in your Holy Spirit. But as soon as you start doing things according to your flesh, you find an unrest in your spirit, right? You find some uneasiness. It's only whenever we are submitted to the will of God for our life that we will find true peace and true joy in our lives. Job 22, 21 says, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. So as we continue in this hymn, it says, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. What are we watching and what are we waiting for? If we believe the eternal words of God, if we believe that God's word is true, what we are watching for is the return of Christ Jesus. Whenever he says, behold, as you see me leave, I will come back to you. You see me ascend into the clouds, I will come back to you in that same way. Jesus is coming for his bride. Jesus is coming for his church, amen? That is the hope and that is the expectation that we have as believers. What are we watching for? We are watching to be with our Savior. We are waiting for his return with anxious, and we are, you know, we're anxious for his return. We're excited, we're watching, we're waiting, we're looking above. And meanwhile, we're filled with his goodness and we're filled with his love. Amen. How many guys have experienced the goodness of God in your life? How many guys are giving good or you're doing good towards others? And that is what we are to be about while we're waiting and while we're watching, that we are to not only accept God's goodness, but to be good to others, amen, to demonstrate the goodness of God towards others until the Lord returns. Now, it leads us to our chorus, which says, "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." How many guys have a testimony this morning? You have a story that is unlike anybody else's story. Now, perhaps we all know Jesus to be Redeemer because he has saved us from our sins, but you might know him to be Healer because he healed your body whenever you were in pain, or he healed that cancer whenever you were afflicted in your body. You might know him to be your Deliverer whenever you were tormented in your mind. That's your story, and you have a different song to sing than the next person in this place, but you have a story, and you have a song. This is my story. This is my song. This is how I know that Jesus is alive forevermore and that God is real. He's affected my life. Amen. We each have a story. We each have a song to sing and a praise to wave our banner before the Lord. Amen. So we're going to close out this morning. And just to kind of recap what we talked about, assurance, that word assurance. Do you have an assurance that Jesus is yours? Amen. Do you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? The Bible says that we can have this assurance, and it's found in Jesus. Amen. We talked about it being a foretaste of the glory to come, of God's divine glory. In other words, we get a glimpse, only a glimpse of how good he is here on this earth. But one day we will see him face to face and we will see his entirety. And those glimpses that we get, they're good enough to sustain us right now, but yet they still leave us hungry for more. We want to know more of God. And one day that's going to be satisfied completely. We talked about being heirs of the King. Amen. That there's an inheritance awaiting for us. We are heirs of the kingdom. We are born, we are purchased, we are born of his spirit, we're washed in the blood. This is all part of your story this morning. Amen. I hope this word has been encouraging to you. Just a reminder that the assurance that we have through Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place and you just don't know, I would just like to give you an opportunity to know that you can know for sure that Jesus will be your reward. Just as Fanny Crosby knew with ultimate assurance that whenever she stepped from this life to the next, that she will see Jesus, you can have that assurance. And if you don't, would you just stand to your feet? We're just going to pray for you. If you don't have the assurance and you want the assurance in your life, you want to know for sure that heaven is going to be your home, we ask that you would just stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for those who are standing in this place, Lord, today. I pray, Lord, that this message would go deep into their hearts. Lord, you said in your word in Romans 10, verse 9, says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. Lord, let that be established in their hearts forever, God, that they are yours. Give them the assurance that they need, Lord God, to let them know, Lord, that they belong to you. Lord, that we would all have this assurance in our life. God, there is nothing in this life that we can place assurance in. Not relationships, not material things, not possessions, not any other thing. But Lord, we can have assurance in the fact that heaven is going to be our home, that we will gain Jesus as our reward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Lord, we just give you all the praise and the glory. And we ask that all the other saints in the place would just stand to your feet as we just worship the Lord. And we close out with this hymn. We say, God, we thank you for the blessed assurance that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we are saved, that we have a story to tell, Lord God. We have a testimony, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your voice and sing this with all your might. Sing it unto the Lord. Amen.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Come on, sing it out. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long. We continually praise our Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long.
We have some young people that are going to be going to camp this summer. Tomorrow they leave. With all those young people going to camp, would you just make your way out the aisle? I don't know if they're whatever. We want this to be their song. We want this to be their story. If you're coming to camp, would you just come on up front? I know maybe they got some kids in nursery. Would you grab them out of nursery real quick if you can? Anybody else? We're going to pray over them. We have 20 kids going. I know that they're not all here today. But we just wanted you as the church body to pray. If the enemy is trying to rob, it's from this generation. If the enemy is trying to steal, it's from this generation. And so we know that the enemy is at attack, and you and us as older people in the room, our job, the Bible says, is that we are to pass this on. I remember Timothy in the Bible and his grandmother, Eunice, I think her name was, and she just passed on the story of knowing Jesus. And you know, if a lot of these young people don't have that privilege of having a grandmother, they're here by themselves this morning. And they're here, not all of them, and a lot of them that are going to camp, they're without a family that serves Jesus. And so we, as brothers and sisters in the family of God, we're required to pray for them. So here's what I would like you to do. We'd like you just to stretch out your hands towards them. Maybe if you're comfortable, you can even come behind them, and if you want to pray for a certain individual. But we are praying for life change and that the assurance. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, I just wasn't assured. I don't know if you remember that. You give your life to the Lord, and you go back and you do something stupid, and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm saved still. That the enemy plays those games, especially with young people, and they're hearing all kinds of things in their schools and in their friendships. It's the coolest thing right now is to be an atheist or an agnostic, especially in our young people. And these young people are going to a Christian camp, and we're just praying that God would move. And that the power of God would be evident in their lives. Would you just reach out your hands towards them? And we're going to pray in faith, and just believe that God would move. God, we thank you, God, for these young people, God, that are coming to camp. God, we pray, Lord God, for each one, God, that even this week, God, that we will be faithful to lift them up by name, Lord God, and that you would do a work in their lives. God, I pray, Lord, for direction and change of lives. God, if there's someone in this crowd of our young people that don't know you, that this would be the week of salvation, that salvation would spring up from the ground. God, if there'd be a young person in this group that is not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that this week they will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, for that young person that has a calling and an anointing from you to be a pastor or a preacher or a worship leader or a missionary, Lord God, we are praying that this week you would speak into their lives. God, for that young person that is depressed and discouraged, God, is suicidal and they've been hiding it from everyone, God, we pray that this week that those chains would be broken in the name of Jesus. God, for any young person that is going towards the world, we pray that this week, God, that that chain would be broken. Instead, they would be 100% for Christ. And God, that this would be their story. God, this would be their song. God, praising their Savior, God, all the day long. And so, God, we thank you for what you're going to do in this group of young people. We pray for your protections over our vans because we surely do need it. God, we pray that you will just unite this group, that they will be full of unity, that there will be no strife and no division, Lord God. And God, that they would have a great time knowing, God, that they can have great fun as people who love Jesus and serve Jesus. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. God, help us as believers in the church family just to be in prayer this week and to believe God for the impossible, and God, that they would have a story, and God, that their song would be used for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. God, we give you all the honor and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Would you come and show them some love if you've got some time? Let's go, Red Raptors. We'll see you guys this Wednesday at 6:30. Go out and praise Jesus all the day long.